This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And NIL Game Changers, this sponsor in the half hour. Ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Go to NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at SunburyMotors.com. And do we have Ben, or are we waiting on Ben?
We have Ben.
We have Ben. Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, joins us. Ben, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time.
Hey, Steve, thanks for having me. It was good to be here.
So the big story coming up will be the appropriation, or at least the thumbs up to it, for Beaver Stadium. What the vote ends up being, we don't know, but it's expected to go through. So what do you know about really what is in this proposal that they have put before them, because they already have the $70 million to get other elements started?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really the big question right now, is sort of the what is next part. And Penn State has done a, much to, I think, everyone's chagrin, a little bit, a good job of keeping a lot of the specifics under wraps. I think we will maybe get a better idea of what is next on Tuesday. But I think broadly, you know, we know a lot of the projects that have already been underway, which is winterization. They're adding a super ribbon scoreboard, which I have a pretty good idea of what that's going to look like, but not enough confirmed to say it out loud, but effectively a very large scoreboard addition in the south end zone. Refabbing some of the LED instrumentation, if you will, in that scoreboard as well. Some things like that, some circulation things. But generally, yes, I mean, this is about getting the rest of the money, or more of the money, approved to move forward with some of the construction. The plan right now is no one would be displaced for this upcoming football season. That will probably change in the future between the conclusion of this upcoming football season and the completion of the renovations in tentatively 2027. But some of the specifics, we will still learn that, but certainly it seems like things are about to be undergoing, you know, even more change to Beaver Stadium over the next couple of years.
Yeah, 25 and 26 would be the years that, you know, with the idea they want this finished by August of 27, correct?
Yes, that is the plan, that the 2027 season would be the first under a new-look Beaver Stadium. I forget who exactly. I think it might be Syracuse would be that first game. You know, I try and take it one day at a time, let alone several years at a time, but it will be a big moment, much like when Penn State played, I believe it was Miami, that first game after the expansion.
It was, yeah. Yeah, it was, as a matter of fact. When you look at where everybody is across the country nationally and what they've done with their facilities, I've always had a feeling that this is just on my side, and part of it's also the background of my family, that your investment should match your expectations. Does this fall under that category in your mind?
I think so, and I think that, you know, James Franklin has said it, and I think, you know, that he's right, that if you want to be a major player in college football, which Penn State has obviously been, that you have to put your money where your mouth is, that the day and age of certainly some of the things that Penn State was very good at, which was not necessarily being about all the bells and whistles and everything and still finding ways to win and be successful, that those days are by and large gone. And I think that the things that they are doing to Beaver Stadium, some of them are practical, some of them are a product of the building is old. It's got a lot of its guts hanging out in the wind, and that does things to a stadium after a while that need to be done. And some of it, you know, when you talk about some of the plans they've sort of whispered about or sort of floated, the idea of nicer suites, the idea of different sorts of things throughout the stadium, you know, that's about fan experience, that's about expectations. And there's no question that if you say, look, we're going to spend $700 million renovating the stadium and not all of that is essential, that is a statement about the expectations that you have for your football program and the expectations that you have about what it's going to take to invest in that football program. And I think with the playoffs expanding, with conferences changing, and certainly neither of us know what college football is going to look like in 10 years, but it almost certainly will be even different than it is now in one way or another, that, you know, this is the time where you go, you've got to invest, and you can't really can't half, you know, what it if you want to be good at it.
Yeah, and that's a part of, there's also another element that has now crept into this, and that is something that no athletic director in their 3 to 5 year budget projection 4 months ago could have ever had, and that is the possibility of a $20 million fee every year that would be distributed to student athletes as part of what could be a settlement in the House case. Can Beaver Stadium be a revenue generator outside of football to not supplement all of it, but at least some of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, certainly we have seen historically the Penn State football obviously has basically been the bread and butter of where athletics gets its money to run the show. And I think that if you look at even from outside of football, where, you know, we saw the Luke Combs concert, we've seen some other things. And I think that Pat Kraft is, and frankly, probably any athletic director at this particular junction goes, look, we've got a really big building. We can put a lot of people in. If we can make it really nice, if we can make it nicer, if we can make it utilized in different times of the year, I mean, it's going to be how many years in the making at this point when Penn State finally is in a position to hold a winter classic at Beaver Stadium. You know, I look forward to not having to ask that question at least once a year to see where things are at with that game. You know, there are so many things that you go, you've got to be able to use that building not only for football, but for other things as well. And that comes with renovations, that comes with winterization. And certainly, you know, Penn State's been really lucky that, you know, nationally attendance has been up and down and all over the place. And by and large, the easier it is for you to watch a game at home, the less likely you are to necessarily go to that game. And I think, you know, if you invest in fans coming to Beaver Stadium, they will continue to do that. Certainly, there's no reason to think that Penn State fans are going to stop coming to Penn State football games. But I think at the same time, the moment that you take any fan base for granted is when you start to lose them. And these investments are as much about keeping them there as anything else. And at the end of the day, you're right. You know, you've got to be able to make money to spend it. And certainly Penn State, like every major college football athletic program, is spending money, you know, left and right, both necessarily and otherwise.
You mentioned the Winter Classic, and you were obviously covering the Rose Bowl, but Minnesota at Target Field hosted it, I think, a year ago. And did you get any feedback from the people there on what it was like? Because I know looking out from my hotel room, like a month later, I could still see the outline of the hockey rink there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the challenge, is you've got to be, you know, I think my understanding, and certainly a lot of things have changed about Penn State over the years, that, you know, one of the challenges of hosting something like the Winter Classic is that you've got to give up the reins to your building a little bit. You've got to let the NHL come in, you know, 6-8 months in advance and say, this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're going to do to your field, and this is what you're going to do to your stadium. And it takes a little bit of bravery to give that thing away to somebody else. Certainly there are logistical things, you know, about the fact that Penn State's field is grass. It doesn't necessarily have the ability to just be plopped back in like we've seen some of these bowl games and stadiums where, you know, by the time you're leaving, they've already, you know, air blasted the paint off and they're putting the Cowboys logo back on, sort of thing. It's a little bit different with grass. It's a little bit different with a stadium like that. But, yeah, no, it's definitely a challenge and one of those things where you've got to be brave enough to give it up, and I think that Minnesota is a good example of like a lot of these major cities where you go, well, we'll just play it over there instead. But yeah, I mean, there are definitely long-term repercussions for things like putting an entire sheet of ice in the middle of your grass field.
How important is it for Penn State to have people understand that bathrooms, concessions, concourses, egress, these are all for the fans? Have they done a good enough job of explaining to people that a lot of this is for their ease and comfort?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the great challenge in all of this for Pat Kraft and really Penn State at large, I think, over the next couple of years, is to get everybody on the same page about what's happening and why, because there is going to be a moment here where they're going to have to tell people, look, you've sat here and you're not going to be able to next year because we're putting scaffolding there, or, you know, we've already... you know, there are things about parking because of the inflated air-supported practice structure, which is a completely different project, that are going to displace people. And you've got to be able to say, look, I know that this kind of sucks, but this is why we're doing it. This is how we're going to make it better for you in the future, make you whole in the future, and kind of take everybody on this journey together. Because I think, you know, from a fundraising perspective, and obviously $700 million is going to come from a lot of different places, and probably none of it is going to be from you or me, or certainly not enough to make a dent in it, that, you know, you've got to keep people happy. You've got to make sure that they understand what's going on and why. And, you know, can you make everybody happy? I think we've learned in this day and age that there's always going to be somebody who's grumpy because that's what they like to do. But I think that, you know, you've got to be able to translate your mission, and certainly there's no question that at the end of the day, a lot of this is for the football program, but a lot of it is for the people in the seats. And, you know, if everybody understands both sides of that coin, you know, I think they can get through this project relatively unscathed.
Anything, what do you want to know about the project as they get ready to present it? What are a couple things you would like to know?
Yeah, I mean, I think just... it's always easier for people to get excited about things when they see pictures of it. You know, I think that, you know, I'm one of those people because it's my job that I wake up in the morning and I check the OPP website and see what sorts of bids are out there. And they say things like deep foundations and concrete, and I can picture those in my mind, but I can't really tell you what that means for the stadium. So I think, you know, the more that you understand what the vision is, I think the easier it is to translate to people. So I'd love to see some, you know, some pictures, but, you know, I remember however long it was that, you know, that Sandy Barber had that presentation of Beaver Stadium renderings, and certainly there's a balance between this is what's actually going to happen and here's a nice idea of what it might look like. So, yeah, I mean, I think visualizations would be big for me, just to be able to kind of picture what things are going to look like in the future. But obviously, you know, designs, architecture, it's a fluid thing. Especially in this stage, so you've got to kind of be prepared for stuff to change. But yeah, I mean, I think seeing words turn into images would be the sort of thing, at least for me, I'm a visual learner, Steve, it would be a plus.
Sure. Right, exactly. No, everybody does it in various ways. If you put out renderings, now you feel like something's coming to life, right? Because now you at least have an idea what it's, quote, going to look like. I mean, that's, I think a lot of people feel that way about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot like, you know, when they started to get things underway with Pagula Ice Arena, that you got to watch that little fly through of a bunch of two-dimensional Penn State fans being very excited about goals and things like that. I think it's big because it's a big project. You know, it's a big, you know, really moment for Penn State athletics at large, that you go, we're going to change this. Really, for the first time, obviously, you know, the suites being added, and I guess it was 2001 was when that all finished up, is not exactly a million years ago. But, you know, when you think about Beaver Stadium being the traditional historic place that it is, when you're going to make almost $1 billion worth of changes to it, people want to be able to say, at least I know what it's going to look like when it's done. And I think that the days like Tuesday, hopefully, certainly, you know, can be a day where people start to have a better sense of that vision.
What is it like for you as a reporter in this era, covering a sport with NIL, covering a sport with the transfer portal, covering a sport where House versus the NCAA and the possibility of a settlement there? What's it like on your part covering this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. It's exciting in a lot of ways because so much is changing. You know, a couple hours ago, the new, it's not called NCAA football anymore, but the College Football 25 trailer finally came out. You know, it's exciting to see these student athletes have opportunities to sort of be out in the public eye in different ways and be branded in different ways. You know, I think it's fun, and I think that, you know, in a lot of ways, it's like you're covering, you know, professional sports, or at least what I perceive that might be like, having not done it myself. But, you know, I think it is representative of really how much money is in it, how many eyeballs are on it, and how much the world is changing. And I think, you know, everyone that watches college football loves college football or college athletics, and I think it's good for the sport in the long run. To be in the place that it's in, and certainly there are a lot of changes and exciting things, and some of them will be good and some of them will be bad, but I think change can be good, and I think college football is certainly going to be continue to be different as we move along, but different is exciting, and people care about exciting, and, you know, as someone who talks about it all the time, exciting sure beats boring.
Yeah, no question, and exciting, and at least let's say different, we'll find out what your opinion is on exciting. Adding the four West Coast schools to the Big Ten, I know, brings with it logistical problems and an idea of, like, this is really the Big Ten. But how do you view having those four in? Does that add to the excitement of the Big Ten? Does it add to the excitement of the job? Or is there another answer?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's exciting. You know, I think the idea that, you know, you can go to USC, and that's a regular season game. Obviously, not every year, but certainly on a regular basis, that beats, you know, I don't want to disparage West Lafayette, but it's a different experience than Los Angeles. You know, I think that everyone can look at that and go, well, this is entertaining. And I think from the big picture perspective, if you're the Big Ten, you know, I think that for as odd as it still feels and probably will feel for a while to say, you know, Seattle, a Big Ten city, that, you know, the Big Ten got ahead of certain things, because what would suck a whole lot more is if the Big Ten missed out on some of these interesting brands.
Yes.
And was stuck with adding Akron or adding some school that really doesn't bring the cachet. I think that in the long run, you know, it positions Penn State to continue to be in a conference of relevance. It continues to position itself to be in a place where it's going to continue to bring in a lot of money from media rights deals. So I think there are a lot of challenges for Penn State that come from this, because it's not like any of these schools are going to be, you know, knocked over and run through by Big Ten teams. But at the same time, I think it makes the Big Ten more interesting, more exciting, and, you know, in the long run, it's just about, can you make it to next year and continue to be relevant in college football as it changes? And certainly Penn State and the Big Ten are positioned as well as anybody in that regard.
Yeah, no, appreciate that. That's a terrific answer. Thanks so much, Ben. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk after they take the vote.
All right. Sounds good, Steve. Appreciate it.
Thanks. You bet. Ben Jones, statecollege.com, always doing a great job. All right, we'll come back more in a moment. This half hour being brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness. Whether you're an athlete or a business, they can help you. Go to NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.